Good morning. I want to ask the Lord to bless each one of you for being here this morning. Tony mentioned something about some people being tired, and it's not good when the preacher is tired. I could use a good nap right now, but I can't, so you can't. So we'll all stick together in this. The title of my message this morning is Seeking Wisdom. And as I looked at this, I thought, why am I preaching a message about wisdom? There's others here that could do a whole lot better preaching about wisdom than I can, but yet it's something that James says we are to ask for. And I thought, that's exactly where I need to go. I need to be one that's willing to ask for wisdom. In 1999, there was an insurance company that decided they're going to find out what is the most dangerous intersection in the United States. In their search, they came up with a small town of about 15,000. I say small, but about 15,000 people, a town, a suburb of Dallas called Addison. The corner of Beltline Road and Midway Road in Addison was the most dangerous intersection in the United States. We live at an intersection here in Nottawa, and it seems like that intersection is really, really busy. We've only seen one accident. I say only, I'd rather not see any. But we've only seen one accident since we lived there in about a year and a half. This intersection sees about 5 accidents a week, to a total of about 263 a year. I think it's time they make some changes, right? We come to intersections in life. Intersections that we don't know, what do we do? Ray shared this morning about something that they faced in life, something scary, something that they had to think about for a couple of days. We come to intersections in life and we're not sure what direction do we go. Do we move ahead? Do we stop? Do we backtrack? Do we turn right or do we turn left? What do we do at this intersection? The decision we make is either going to bring us forward or it's going to maybe take us into a downward spiral. What direction do we go? So does Scripture give us a divine direction for our decisions that we make? Does God care about those tiny decisions? Does He care about the big decisions? Does He care? Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. And I think it's interesting. Sometimes when I prepare a message, I think, is this really what I should share? Lord, have I really gone the right direction in this? And I have different times where I've changed, maybe 3 different times where I've went to different places, a different subject. And I was wondering about this week as I studied the last couple weeks, actually. Is this really what you want me to share about this morning? It's not salvation, but it's something that we need to look at. And Friday evening, I was at the tractor pull, and I sat down next to an older gentleman. And he started telling me about the difficulties he's had in his life, but there was something about him I thought, I think he's a believer. So as we talked a little bit, I finally asked him. And he said, oh yes, I am. And then he started telling me, he said, I've been reading in the book of James. And right away my ears pricked up. And he said, Wednesday night, he said, we started looking at wisdom. And I said, I think we sat here for a reason. So I started talking about wisdom, and we discussed wisdom for a little bit. But the confirmations that God gives us, this isn't part of my message, but this is just the blessing of knowing that we can sense God's leading. James 1, we're going to go verse 5 through 8. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, keep your finger in that passage if you can. Turn over to Job chapter 28. Here he says in James, if any of you lack wisdom. So what is wisdom? Let's look a little bit at what Job says wisdom is. We're going to go to verse 12 in Job chapter 28. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Here he's saying that we can try to buy wisdom. Actually, he's not saying we can try to buy it, but he's saying you can't buy wisdom. As much gold as you have, you cannot buy wisdom. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds. He's telling the winds how much to blow, and he weigheth the waters, how much rain we're going to get. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declared it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. Now let's listen to verse 28 here. He says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10 also says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So he says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So can we expect to find spiritual wisdom without first of all being connected to Christ? No. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is fear? What is the fear of the Lord? I guess I would explain fear as a holy reverence. A holy reverence of the Lord. Fear is to give honor. It's to give reverence to. To lift high, to exalt. When we fear God, we lift Him up. We make His name great, like we've been talking about. We make Him known. So wisdom begins with fearing God. We talk about knowledge, we talk about wisdom. Knowledge is learning. I can take Scripture and I can read Scripture and I can know it from front to back. I still don't have wisdom. Unless I apply the knowledge that I've taken in. Many times we look at older people and we think, there's an old person, so he's wise. And I thank God for the older people we have here. We have a lot of wise people here today. But being old does not say that you have wisdom. But what you've done with Christ, what you've done with the Scriptures, what you've done with the Holy Spirit will say whether you have wisdom or not. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. So what is the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Fools hate wisdom and instruction. When we go against what Scripture tells us, we are being fools. We are being foolish. We do not have wisdom. When I choose to go my own way, I choose to do things because this is how I think, not how the Scripture says, that's foolishness. That is not wisdom. We make poor choices and we blame other people. That's not wisdom. It's important that we have wisdom in making our decisions in life. When we come to those crossroads that I was talking about, that we have wisdom, knowing how to make decisions. Lord, what direction do you want me to go? Let's go back again to James 1. We're just going to kind of tear this scripture apart a little bit and see what he's telling us here. Let's go to verse 5 where we started. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. So there are times when we do lack wisdom. Many times when we lack wisdom. There's a vacancy here that we need to fill. But it's hard for us to admit that, isn't it? It's hard for us to admit that I'm not wise. But as we read Scripture, the more we read, the more we find out that I don't have wisdom within myself. It's only through reading the Scriptures and applying myself that I can have wisdom. And when I realize this, it's really foolish to ignore this and to keep going. Because I'm guaranteed to hit a wall somewhere unless I'm willing to allow the Lord to bring wisdom into my life. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, and I'd be the first to raise my hand this morning that there's times I lack wisdom. And I think all of us would probably raise our hand if we'd ask for that. Why do we need wisdom? We need wisdom in our relationships. Husbands and wives. I need wisdom in knowing how to respond to my wife. My responses haven't always been the best. But when I come to the Lord and I seek what He wants, and I allow Him to direct my relationship, that's wisdom. I need wisdom in my relationship with my coworkers. Some of you work in the factories. I've heard some stories of guys that get frustrated with you. You make one little mistake and somebody's cussing at you. Somebody's pointing fingers. We need wisdom in knowing how to respond to our coworkers. We need wisdom in knowing how to respond to our children. Very, very important that we respond to our children with love. Scripture talks about not angering our children. How do I respond to my children in love? How do I direct their direction? That's kind of not exactly what I meant to say there. How do I direct where they are to go? I guess it would be direct their direction. How do I direct what direction they are to go if I don't have godly wisdom? Do I want them to hit that wall like I hit it? They're making decisions. They need guidance. We need wisdom in that. We need wisdom in our financial decisions. The money that we make, what do I do with it? Do I take it and spend it on myself? See how good I can make it? Do I help others with it? What do I do with the financial blessings God has given me? We need wisdom in our job. What do I do in my job? Is it time to move ahead? Am I at a dead-end job? Is there something I can change to make it better? These are all just things that we face today. Nothing fancy. But we need wisdom in these areas. The next phrase he says, let him ask of God. So God has all this wisdom. I like to picture a warehouse packed full of wisdom. I don't know what that looks like exactly, other than a warehouse full of something. Packed full of wisdom. God has it. He's waiting to give it to you. Your name is on it. But unless you ask, it stays on that shelf. He says here, let him ask of God. Unless I can face up with the fact that I have some decisions to make and I'm unwise and I'm not sure how to go about this, that wisdom stays there. God doesn't give it to you if you don't ask. He says we are to ask of God. Pride's not going to allow me to ask either. When I have pride, I'm happy to go on my own. When I think the world revolves around me, I'm not going to ask for wisdom. I'd like to quickly turn to Luke 18. Let's look at a man here that did not ask for wisdom. Luke 18, verse 9. Now, there's many different things we get out of this parable here. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" That was his view of it. I have wisdom. I'm so full of myself that others don't look very good. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This was wisdom, seeking out God, asking for direction from Him. I believe wisdom is a gift that God gives us. It's not something that we can earn, but I believe God gives it to us as we ask, as our heart is directed to Him. The next phrase He says, "giveth to all men liberally." The supply that God has of wisdom is not just a small amount. It says He giveth liberally. How many times am I hurting? Am I making decisions that hurt other people? Am I making decisions that affect a lot of people because I didn't choose to seek God for wisdom? He's waiting to give. It says He giveth liberally. That's bountifully. That's without reserve, not holding anything back. He gives much wisdom. I love to talk to people that I know have been in the Word. People that have sought the Lord, that have wisdom in their life, you can tell it. I have to think of a person that used to be our pastor as a young boy. And as a young boy, you normally, or I shouldn't say normally, but there's times you don't appreciate your minister, your pastor, because they say things that go against what your lifestyle is. Raymond Barkman was one of the pastors when I was growing up. When I look at Raymond today, Raymond's old, he's not doing well anymore. But when I look at Raymond today, the different times that I've met him in the last, I'd say 5-6 years, Raymond is packed full of wisdom. When he speaks, there's just something about it that you sense God's presence. That's my desire as I grow older, as I walk with the Lord, that I can be a man of wisdom. We have some of those sitting here this morning too. And I bless them for that. We gain strength. We gain encouragement from each other. The next phrase He says there is, "and upbraideth not." I didn't know what that word meant. I started looking at it, trying to figure out what's He trying to say. But when we ask God for wisdom, He promises He's going to give it to us. He's not standing there pointing fingers, "Oh, so it's you again. You're looking for something from me again." Upbraideth means to rail at or to taunt or to revile, to reproach. God's not looking down at us, wishing we wouldn't ask. He's waiting, and He's not going to taunt us for asking. He's going to bless us. It's a little bit like being in a situation where you need something. You go talk to a friend and you ask, can I borrow your battery charger? Or something they have, and they just bought it, it's brand new, and it's a real nice one. And you sense, yeah, you can have it, but I'd really like for you to put it back, wrap the cord up when you lay it back here, and wipe it a little bit when you put it back down. You sense that they're really not too happy for you to use it. That's not Jesus. Jesus gives liberally. He blesses us. Verse 6 says, let him ask in faith. So now we've got the promise that God gives. He gives liberally. He doesn't taunt us. But he says to ask in faith. And I guess this is a big catch for me this morning. How many times have I come to the Lord and I've asked for something and he hasn't given it to me because my faith wasn't big enough? Let him ask in faith. Trust God. Believe that he's going to supply. He says he will. He's willing to give us wisdom if we ask him. And if we believe. You probably heard the story of the community that was going through a drought. It was really dry. So they decided to get together for a prayer meeting to ask the Lord to send rain. There was one person that showed up with an umbrella. Who believed? Who had the faith? One person that showed up. I had to think of Elijah, and we're not going to read this. But Elijah asked that it wouldn't rain. And he believed, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then when he thought it was time for rain to fall again, it again rained. He had a faith, a belief. Then he says there in verse 6, after he says, but let him ask in faith, he says, nothing wavering. And I found this to be an interesting phrase to look at. Nothing wavering. He talks afterwards in the same verse there. He said, wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Not wavering. When you walk along the ocean and you listen to the waves, you see the waves, they come in, they go out. They come in, they go out, continually. The waves are pulling back. Then they come in again. They pull back and they come in. It's like us being on God's side today, but not tomorrow. Today, but not tomorrow. Over and over, we repeat the cycle. We are wavering. We're not committed to being on God's side every day, but just when it suits us. Being wishy-washy. Not having our roots planted firmly in the kingdom of God. On again, off again. On again, off again. That is wavering. He says, not wavering or not doubting. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath is not anger, and without doubting is not to waver. Then we go to verse 7. It says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So there we have some qualifications, I guess you could say, before this. If we don't meet up with this, he's saying you're not going to receive wisdom. If you want wisdom, follow what I've got laid out for you. Other than that, you're not going to receive it. And again, we need wisdom for the decisions that we face from day to day. That's what we're about to ask the Lord for. Then he comes to verse 8, the last verse that we have here in James that I want to look at. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The literal meaning for a double-minded man is a man with two souls. One soul for the kingdom, one soul not for the kingdom. Thinking that we can go both ways. One towards God, the other otherwise. He's controlled by his passions or popular feeling. He is unstable, not trustworthy. Again, a lot like the wavering person. He thinks positive one day and negative the next. A double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways. One like this will not receive wisdom. So let's go back a little bit. Let's see where we were. We came to the crossroads. We're seeking wisdom in our decisions that we are to make. We ask for wisdom. We ask it in faith. Not wavering, not doubting, but believing. And God says, I will give you, if these are the terms. A couple of verses I want to just quick look at real quick. You don't have to turn to these. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Proverbs 14:33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. 19:8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If we read that in the New Living Testament, it says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. I'm sorry, I skipped the next one. No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. Then 4:7, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. So the wisdom that we're asking for is not to make us something, but that we can walk with the Lord closer, that we can make decisions that will honor Him and glorify His name. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So in conclusion, I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs 3. I want to look just at a couple of verses here really quick before we close. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. It'll be life to you. So my prayer is this morning, that as we come to our decisions in life, that we would seek God, and we seek Him with a heart that is pure, with a heart that is directed towards Him, that the decisions that we make would be decisions that would honor Him, that would glorify His name. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, it seems the more we get into Your Word, the more we realize, Father, that we need Your wisdom. I just want to ask that You would help each one of us here this morning, Father, to be willing to give up our pride, Lord, an area where I had to lay down. Be willing to give up our own desires for the desires that You want. I pray that You would continue to build our body here. Thank You so much for each person here this morning. We ask Your blessing here. That Your name would be lifted up, that You would be honored and glorified. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.